Check this out.
Look at the size of that thing. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
Told you I hate hackronyms. I just made up a new word. It's hackronyms. I guess acronyms are okay. I mean, I'm not going to run around saying Federal Bureau of Investigation,
right?
Or National Endowment for the Arts. I'll say FBI and NEA or whatever.
Or cock, right? Elgin.
I'm not going to run around saying cock, Elgin. I'll say BBC.
That's right.
I'm not a monster. So it's not acronyms. I just realized this. Huh. It's not acronyms. It's hackronyms. And hackronyms shall be defined as follows. It's whenever somebody uses an acronym to seem smarter, more well-informed, nicer, a more important human being. Hmm. And you know, one of my... I guess that's why I say I don't really hate hackronyms as much as I hate the people that use hackronyms. And one of my, I don't know why, it never bothered me before all that much, but today I just had my fill of it.
Yeah, you did.
STEM.
Yeah, you came at me. I hadn't even had my coffee. When you hit me up with that.
I know, I went off, didn't I? You're like, oh, well, I'm writing a... I'm doing the artwork for a comic that is going to promote STEM. I was like, oh, yeah? So I do believe STEM is one of those acronyms that we didn't hear anything about it. And for those that don't know, it's science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's for schools, and it's meant to encourage kids... especially girls and minorities, to get into science, technology, engineering, and math so we can compete with your Asians. Which,
wait,
I don't know how that
works. Wait, you mean Eurasians or Asian people?
Eurasians.
Okay.
Eurasian people.
All right. Making sure.
You're Asian people.
Not like my Asian people, but like Eurasians in general.
I don't get how that works, though, because... Asians are minorities, right? I can't walk into my kid's school and start making fun of the little Asians that are running around. I'd get in trouble for that, right?
Right.
But we're trying to compete with them by pushing the STEM thing. And anyway, it just popped up all of a sudden. When we were in school, I remember this. We were in school. They started putting more funding into science and math, less funding into the arts. You know, like music and painting and sculpting. And
I was on the receiving end of that.
Well, me too. I mean, I was in band. And
yeah, that's true.
We weren't getting shit that we needed, you know, in the theater and all that. It was like, oh, well, let's put all of our money into the science technology or the science and math, right? So we all complained about it. Anybody who wanted to be hip and seem worldly conscious was like going, hey, man, we need the humanities. We need art. We need literature. We need all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why, but today I just had my fill of it. And and I believe that my biggest problem with hackronyms is the assholes that use them have no idea what they mean.
Yes.
Have no idea what it really is or whether it really makes any difference in the world.
Right.
It's like recycling. I know recycling is not a hackronym, but if there were a hackronym for recycling, I wish there were. That way I could hate recycling more. But if there were, it'd be like that because it reaches the level of, it's not that they're saying it's a good idea. It's not that they're saying, well, a sensible person would do this because it just makes sense to do it. No, they're saying there is something wrong with you if you don't do it.
That's exactly what they're saying.
If you're not running around talking about STEM, if you're not like giving money to STEM causes and doing STEM stuff and making posters about STEM, you're just a monster. That's what you are. You're a horrible, horrible person. Oh, yeah, bitch? I'm an engineer. How's that for STEM?
I put the E in STEM.
That's right. But I can understand why some people may be a little defensive. Because while we're not going to hit on politics, there has been, you know, education has been in the news lately. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been watching the news.
I have not been living under a rock. I do.
Oh, okay. But this Betsy DeVos, I don't know mm-hmm. if that's how you pronounce her name because I don't watch the news. She apparently has become the federal Department of Education person. I don't know. What is she? Head of education?
Something
lead
like
school
that,
mistress?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently a lot of people hate her. So much so that they broke my damn Facebook today. Pissed me off. That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
I was already in a bad mood because I thought that I'd finally gotten to a point where I unfollowed enough people mm-hmm. that my newsfeed finally became cats and pictures of people's kids and funny quips, right?
Right.
Then today, fucking breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why'd my Facebook break? What's wrong with it? So I open the hood. I get under there. I start pulling wires and like.
You're telling your wife to turn it over.
Yeah, that's right. Then I just stand there and stare at it for a minute, pretend I'm looking at something. Maybe take a leak.
Then a cop pulls up, you know, and won't help you. But he's just asking what's wrong.
You come over here and stare at this with me for a minute. And what I figure out, I finally find the problem. There's a big damn uprising against this Betsy DeVos stuck in my air intake.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already pissed. Then somebody comes up with, well, we need more STEM. I'm like, God, stop it with the STEM.
STEM's like the one thing I don't want, like in a bag of frozen broccoli. Because it'll say right on the bag, may contain stems.
You don't want stems in your frozen broccoli or in your bag of pot.
That's true. Or seeds, but I've been told that you don't
want
either.
That's what Frisbees are for. I just remember, yeah, I haven't been involved with pot for many, many years, decades. Nay, decades. But I remember in college, I had a friend who was like knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he would always get his Frisbee out and pour all his pot out into the Frisbee. Like, what are you doing? Oh, I got to get the stems and seeds out. Well, that's just horrible quality assurance right there.
He's panning for gold.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine you go to Colorado. You probably don't have to do that.
But you know, right. Now the Frisbee throwing pothead correlation all makes sense now.
That's right.
It's like, what are we going to do with this? I don't know. Throw it. Hey, look. We can do two things with it.
I know. You know, that's how history works. I mean, had things been just slightly different, then all potheads would be like those guys at the circus spinning those plates on those sticks.
With the saber dance playing in the background.
Exactly. Wow, that guy's a real pothead. Well, I guess that never would have worked. Because he would have got like two of them going and then just been like, ah, fuck it. Well, go watch TV. So schools have been in the news, and to provide the relief that we promised to provide in 2017, we are going to allow our listeners and her Facebook followers to have a little fun with education. And so, Facebook question of the day. Favorite movie about school?
I think you totally hit on it, though, man. People that use... It's like people that use the acronyms for things. Like GMO, for instance. Okay. If you ask the average person what a GMO was, they'd tell you they're bad for you. But they wouldn't... But that wasn't my question. My question is, what is a GMO?
Is that some kind of a pickup truck?
Yeah, it was a muscle car back in the 70s.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But no, they tell you, well, they're bad for you, but they wouldn't. Yeah. But that wasn't the question. The question is, what the fuck is a GMO?
Right.
Acronyms are just your quick, easy way of like sounding like being able to feel like you've caught up. You're up to speed, and you don't want to feel like you don't want the person next to you thinking you're dumb, like you don't know what you're talking about. So if you start throwing out initials, you know, they're gonna they're obviously well-read and, you know, well-educated.
I like to think the best in people. And I every time I think of this, there's a specific person that comes in my head. Like, I get a visual image of this person, and I don't hate this person. I'm not going to say who it is. I don't know if he listens. I don't know, his friends may listen. I don't know. I used to work with him. And he's a fucking acronym dropping motherfucker. And the worst is, after you tell somebody, I don't know what any of these acronyms mean, they just keep going with them.
Yeah.
Or when they invent something new. Ooh, I like this one. This guy does this. And again, I don't hate him. I like the guy. It's the one aspect of him I don't like. It's not about him. It's about his actions. So it's when you're at work and you invent this new process or new position at the company or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with what you're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately come up with an acronym for it.
Right, right.
I have two problems with that. One, you just invented it. You can't use an acronym mm-hmm. around everybody else because we can't possibly know about it because you right. just invented it.
Right. Right.
That's problem number one. Problem number two is if you invent a name for something, you immediately have to use an acronym because the name's too long or confusing or hard to remember. You suck at coming up with names for things.
You know, a funny thing about acronyms, I did some, you know, something I almost never do before the show. I did a little research, and the thing about acronyms is, you know what STEM's original acronym was?
No, what?
It started out as METS.
Like the New York Mets?
Yes. And apparently whoever was in charge didn't like that, so he changed it to SMET.
SMET.
And then eventually somebody went, well, if we call it STEM, it seems like we're stemming out into this. And it stuck. And then, of course, now we have STEAM, which incorporates the arts as well. I got nothing against STEM or STEAM, but that's how pointless acronyms are.
It's all marketing bullshit.
In the comic book world, when you're writing a comic book and you want like an organization of bad guys, all right,
Viper.
The first thing you do is come up with the word. Like, well, yeah. the big one in DC is the Hive. So somebody went, ooh, and they'll wear bee costumes and their headquarters will look like a honeycomb. Well, what the fuck is Hive going to stand for? Well, hold on a minute. So they get out the thesaurus, and they come up with a definition of what Hive stands for. That's how silly acronyms are. And then George Carlin had the whole thing about how, you know, he predicted it. Sooner or later, people were just going to talk in letters. Because initially, what was it? Shell shock became post-traumatic stress disorder, which became PTSD. Yeah. And he predicted this shit like 30 years ago, that we're eventually just going to be talking in letters. And he's pretty much spot on.
Yeah, too bad he died before he got to see the realization of his vision.
I don't think he'd want to see the realization of most of his visions.
I have a question. I've only asked it two times today, so I have to ask it a third time.
All right.
So you guys have STEAM
mm-hmm.
in your school and stuff?
Yeah.
So do they have the kids with the spiky hair and the Sex Pistols t-shirt? Do they call them steampunks?
Yes, those are steampunks. That's right.
Hey, man, I'm sad, but I'm into science, technology, engineering, art, math. I like the Sex Pistols, dude.
You're confusing punks with emos.
Well, it's... You tell me.
Nobody's into punk. You know who's into punk?
Who?
Guys our age.
Well, maybe we go back to school. Speaking of going back to school, that's one of my favorite school movies.
Nice segues.
Hey, man. I'm into science and math and art. And I love the Ramones, man. I'm a steampunk. You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Shit.
All right, back to STEM. Here's the funny thing mm-hmm. about it is I still don't get it. Why are we pushing it? And somebody actually asked me today, do you know why they're pushing STEM? And I didn't even want to get into it because one of these feminists... like ultra left feminist feminazi, you know, and I just didn't want to get into it with her because I guarantee you her answer would have been because we need more women to get into this, and women, girls typically think they need to be this and they need to realize they can be that. And I'd be like, do you realize what kind of girls I'm raising? You have no idea.
You know, that's a very good point, because the girls today. Now, this whole the STEM thing all started like during the Obama administration, didn't it?
Chronologically, I'd say yes. I don't know if he had anything to do with it,
but I just mean as far. Well, I read his name in the article that I had read, and it around 2014, the whole thing, a bunch of money was dumped, and because girls and so on and so forth, but. The girls that are being raised, do you know anybody our age who are raising girls to be housemaids?
Have you met my wife? I mean,
on occasion. I'm just saying, we raise all of us, you, me, Woody, I can't, right off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else with daughters at the moment.
That's three right there.
That's three. Okay. So we're raising our girls to not go, oh, I can't be a scientist. I got to be a housewife.
Right.
No, we're not. We're raising them to be fucking astronauts and superheroes and ninjas and shit.
Yeah.
So if we're doing it, there's a whole lot of other people out there doing it as well. So what's the deal?
There's going to be a lot of work out there for ninjas. I'm trying to figure this out. Well, look. There are a lot of assholes in a lot of positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with these asshole ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this tunnel vision. And they connect it with the right leader who's, and in this case, sounds like it was probably Obama. And then it becomes a religion. And nobody stops to think, what are we actually doing? What is it we're doing here? Are we trying to tell kids that the only important thing is science and technology and engineering and math? And, okay, put an A in there. Oh, yeah, art. Oh, there you go. Here's a bone, artists, just so we don't piss you off, right? How about a well-rounded education? There's too much. And, look, I've complained about Common Core on this show before, and that is exactly the problem I have with Common Core is it is a, let's get these kids ready for a career or a college, because everybody needs to be sitting at a computer programming something, designing robots or programming an AI or something like that. That's what everybody needs to be doing. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to do that. Some people want to write books. Some people want to fix transmissions. You know, some people want to paint. What's wrong with that?
Not a damn thing.
But apparently, there's too much of that. There's too much of these kids running around wanting to learn history and social studies and philosophy and psychology. So we got to come up with a stupid damn acronym like STEM to combat the scourge of kids wanting to learn the humanities. Especially girls.
Dude, you may have stumbled onto something there.
I didn't stumble on it. I ran right into it. Full speed.
You're like, wham! You hit it full on. Like you're looking for a bathroom.
It was like one of those patio doors where they just wash the window. And I'm going to go out onto the deck because that's where the cooler is with all the beers. And I'm like really thirsty. I ran right into it. Where's my microphone?
My favorite Common Core memory, because don't get me started on that shit, but my favorite Common Core memory was I'm sitting at the table trying to help my intelligent daughter figure out this math. And we're looking at this problem, and we're just like, I'm a reasonably intelligent human being. And I can't figure this shit out. And she's a good student, and she can't figure it out. So I said, here's what I'm going to do, honey. So I typed up the message, the question, and sent it to you. And your response was, Common Core? Question mark. Like, yes. It was so bad.
You want to talk about a scourge? That's the goddamn scourge right there, man.
Yes, that it is.
Career and college readiness. Ugh. What's the acronym for that? C-A-C-R. Cocker. Speaking of cocks, did you know that this is the year of the fire rooster in the Chinese zodiac?
Yes, I did. My friend Jose told me.
Well, Jose, is his last name like Chin? Jose Chin. It's spelled like X-O-X-E-C-H-I. That has significance in the show today.
Okay.
Because one of the headlines I wrote down was Feng Shui expert takes on the U.S., China, and Russian and U.K. leaders. And that's just a little tease.
I thought the significance was the fact that I use the rooster every once in a while.
That's significant as well.
Okay.
Like if somebody says something on the show like... or cocksucker.
No, that one's okay.
Cunt.
What is that an acronym for?
Is there really only one word?
That is the only word. Everybody say, everybody do. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Mary, you're on my mind. Folks are gone, this path's gonna be mine.
Look at the size of that thing.
Thanks to the goddamn Super Bowl, this town is all out of fifths.
Oh.
And it was funny because I go into the drugstore. I'm friends with the cashier, right? She's like, hey, how's it going? I went, I'm an alcoholic, apparently. That's how it's going.
Yeah, we should. I know we've done this before, but it's been a while. Maybe we should do another show on alcohol consumption. Because I had this thought today. Somebody posted a picture of a guy walking down the street with a case of Natty Light in one hand and a collapsible dolly in the other. He's like, what's this guy doing? It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's like, what's this guy's story? And he was like, everybody, what's his story? Of course, my story for him was like in-depth and complicated. He had just gotten off work. He works 12-hour shifts, 3 days on, 3 days off. Today's his Friday. So, you know, it's kind of like he's got 3 days off now. But he needs to help his mom just died, and he's got to move her stuff out of the nursing home. And so his boss let him borrow the collapsible dolly. The beer is for his buddies who agreed to help out.
That is probably exactly what happened.
Yes, I bet that's probably the closest. But then I thought, you know, if you stop at the liquor store on the way home, which I know you have, if you're, you know, I leave work. It doesn't even have to be a Friday. Whatever day, I stop at the liquor store after work. You know, a lot of dudes buying booze, right? And I don't know. I'm weird. The way my mind works is God's own personal mystery. I always project into what are they doing right now, but what is their evening going to be like? And what are their evenings generally like? And I'll bet you there's a large percentage of us out there that would go home, crack a beer, crack an Evan Williams, whatever. And there are a lot of people out there who aren't what you think of as an alcoholic, but like really high functioning people that just want to block it all out for a few hours in the evening, you know?
Right. Well, like my brother-in-law said one time to me, he's like, I don't know how anybody doesn't drink. It's like, that's pretty much my philosophy. I'm like, I don't know. How the fuck do you make, you know, I have friends who, my friends who don't drink are like my friends who don't eat meat. And God help you if you get one that doesn't do either. It's like, I don't eat meat. Where that, I don't need alcohol.
Meat is murder. Alcohol destroys your brain, man.
Well, as a bartender once told me, he's like, you know, all right, you know, alcohol destroys brain cells, but it's survival of the fittest up there. You know, the weak ones go, and it leaves only the strong ones behind.
It's like a herd of buffalo.
That's right.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic radio show. Paul Schultz and Steve Vincent still here, cracking wise, cracking heads. But now it's time for headlines. Do you think we need a headlines theme? Every time I listen to the show and I go, it's time for headlines. And I'm like, oh, the music's going to... Oh, there's no...
I'll get headline music this time, I promise.
You want me to make a song? Headline. That could be to the Basketball Jones. Headlines. Headlines.
New Foreigner instead of Head Games. Headlines.
You had to pick one of my least favorite Foreigner songs. She's... Headlines, check it and see. They'll interpret them in irresponsible ways. Come on, baby, do you do more than read? Alternate facts, alternate facts. Sorry. Is it alternate facts or alternative facts?
But you got to do headlines, check it and see. Headlines, they interpret them irresponsibly. Oh. Headlines.
Headlines, check it and see. They interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, you don't need to read the rest. Just listen to Paul and Steve. All right. Bolivia faces locust plague emergency. Didn't we take care of the locusts at some point in the past? The fuck
Didn't
is this about?
Did we go to school with her?
Who, Bolivia or locust?
Yeah. No, Bolivia Jones.
Bolivia Jones. Where's Bolivia? Is that Central America, South America? Is that an island? What is that?
I think it's South America.
It had to be in one of the Mac Bolan books, right?
At least one. That's the only way I know geography in South and Central America is because of Gold Eagle books.
Right? Did they have a communist insurrection? No. I don't know where the fuck that is then. My daughter is doing a report on Barbados. And what do I know about Barbados? There's that song about I've never been to Barbados.
Barbados, wasn't he the thief that Christ took the place of on the cross?
That might be.
Or is that Barabbas?
Or maybe it was the winner of the 400 meter sprint, the Greek guy, Barbados, Barbados Climacus, Barbados Chlamydius.
I think that's who it is.
Anyway, Bolivia. South America, we're going to go with that? Jungles, probably?
We'll say South America, yeah.
That's what it is. It's probably the jungles. Like, you got, those locusts are probably hiding out in those jungles. And you can't just, not like you can just spray the jungle, right? And get rid of them?
Yeah, you're not going to hit it with no DDT and kill them all off, no.
Right? And so, there's only really one solution to the locust problem. And it is the final solution.
Sterilization.
You got to cut down the trees, man.
Yeah, cut down the trees. Exactly. That'll take care of everything.
We need a Wunsler to get in there, cut all them damn trees down. Locusts have nowhere to hide. Solves the locust problem. Because I think any headline that has the word plague in it, people ought to look at that and just go, whatever. I don't know what this article's about. But whatever it is, it's got to be stopped because we don't need no plague in the 21st century.
This is correct.
We already have the scourge. What's the difference between a scourge and a plague? I don't even know.
Man, we're like biblical times.
All right. Now, here's what I really wanted to talk to you about today. The past 40 minutes were just like lead in to this.
Okay.
I think we all need to listen to this guy. His name is Joey Yap, and he's a feng shui expert, which before I watched this video, I thought meant, you know, like an interior designer that would make sure you don't trip over the sofa when you come. Like Rob Petrie could have used some feng shui in his house. That damn sofa blocked the energy and Rob Petrie. How many times did he come into that house and trip over the damn sofa? Do you not know the sofa's there?
You know what? I think that, like, you know, Laura had, like, a serious, like, life insurance policy out on him. Because she never moved into that shit. And she knew he would trip over it every time.
Don't you think she figured that eventually he'd remember that there's a sofa there? So feng shui expert Joey Yap has predicted a showdown between the East and the West in 2017 with China in the U.S. taking center stage. But my favorite part, hang on, I know you heard the Chinese accent in the background. My favorite part of this whole video is the music. Is that Indian or Chinese? I can't tell.
Now, Donald Trump was born in 1946, the year of the fire dog. In the year 2017, the year of the fire rooster, Donald Trump goes through a very unique formation known as a hum. Now, a hum normally indicates damage in reputation, but we all already know that since his inauguration. However, the fire rooster actually is beneficial to Mr. Trump's chart, so expect positive changes to the country that he represents. The president of China, Mr. Xi, is born in the year of the water snake. Snakes in 2017 do not have any positive stars. Now, this is not such a good thing for him to face the infamous twice-a-decade Party Congress this year.
This
also indicates hasty decision-making. So for him to flex his economic muscle to Mr. Trump in 2017 would not be so advisable. Vladimir Putin. He's born in the year of the water dragon.
Of course he was.
Dragons have a very unique and powerful status. There is a unique relationship between Putin and Trump's chart. And of course, everyone is talking about the bromance between these two gentlemen.
Bromance!
However, in 2017, there will be a rise in competition in terms of political
feng shui expert.
So it would be wise for Mr. Putin not to easily flex his economic muscle in order not to strain the relationship.
Put your economic rooster back in your pants, Mr. Putin.
That's right. Don't strain the relationship.
Theresa May, the British Prime Minister. Now, she is born in the year of the fire monkey. There's an interesting element in Theresa May's chart that is actually compatible with Donald Trump. So of all the leaders that we see on the list today, she probably is the only one that could possibly get along with Donald Trump. However, being born in the year of the fire monkey and also going through the transition that she is in her current luck cycle, she's going through the element of betrayal. So this indicates the possibility of internal party struggles and challenges in the year 2017.
I'm very familiar with party struggles.
Who sets fucking animals on fire?
Well, I mean, the fire
monkey. Why is everything a fire monkey, a fire lizard, a fire chicken?
I don't know if it's... All I know is I'm looking forward to hearing about Trump grabbing Theresa May's fire monkey. I just think it's hilarious that that was on the BBC, which, yeah, as we all know, stands for, you know, fucking it's Agnar Center. And it's almost like they don't know how to do... they don't know how to do the sensationalistic TMZ thing that we do here. So they go, what can we do that would be, you know, not necessarily fake news?
Just ridiculous?
Just tongue-in-cheek, maybe? And they go, well, let's get a guy with a Chinese accent to come on and talk about the fire cock. I just love that he's like... talking about the bromance between Putin the fire dragon and the fire dog Donald Trump.
I like the way he says Putin, though. It's like Putin. It's like, or Putin.
Puty, 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 pop. Well, somebody's got to come up with it. I mean, this guy probably has a better shot at figuring out what the hell's going on than any of the experts over here.
That's right.
Because I don't know what the hell's going on. But I did start playing some Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young in the car the other day with the girls.
Right.
Because I was inspired by the Do It Indie Radio Hour's Revolution Rock episode from a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? Some of the best rock and roll comes out of times of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to believe some really good rock and roll is going to come out of these times.
Let's hope so, because look at what we've had to listen to, other than like the White Stripes and the Black Keys. what have we had to listen to?
Well, there's Courtney Barnett.
Okay.
That's three right there. Rock on tours, which is Jack White. Which,
yeah, well, but count. Yeah, I was gonna say they don't count. They're
That's one of those. What do you call those? When a bunch of famous or established, I should say, musicians get together and form a band temporarily.
They call it. It's called a super group.
Super group.
Yeah,
You and I should form a band and call it super group. And people will be like, oh, you mean, like, which supergroup are you talking about? The supergroup.
That's right.
Like, supergroup?
We would be the top of the Google search, then.
Like
the supergroup.
When you say the supergroup, you're saying that they're, like, even better than the Traveling Wilburys? No. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they are the supergroup. Right. The supergroup, meaning they're better than... I only know two. Are there more?
Well, there's Rock Pile. There's Power Station. There's... It was the Little Village. That was another one. The Bears. That was another supergroup.
We're the People? Are We the World? What was that one called?
Was that Band-Aid?
We are the people. We are the ones to make a better world. So let's start giving. And then Stevie Wonder comes on and goes, it's a better world. Stevie Wonder. Well, I think for some reason, I think everybody's in... Okay, there's one of two possibilities. One, everybody's still in shock and they can't believe what the hell's going on. And so they're just kind of sitting there going, I can't make any music because I don't know what to say because I don't know what the hell's going on. Or the other possibility is everybody's been so corporatized and homogenized and acronymized and STEMized and public schoolized that there are no longer any rebels left.
Willie Nelson was supposedly working on an anti-Trump song. I don't know if that...
Willie Nelson's yet. Like 87 goddamn years old. I'm looking for a 27-year-old.
But you know what? White guys in like their, you know, late 20s and early 30s like Willie Nelson. Because they all smoke pot, too.
Well, and I don't mean an anti-Trump song. That's not going to do it, man.
Right.
An anti-Trump song, if he just gets on there and goes, we don't like Trump because he talks about grabbing pussy and we don't like that and blah, blah, blah. That won't work. It's got to be, if you listen to the revolution rock from the 60s, they didn't hit it on the nose. They didn't go, and the U.S. should get out of Vietnam. I mean, they did come close. Four Dead in Ohio. That one.
Yeah.
That was pretty on the nose. But in general, they didn't say and we don't like Johnson. Although they did say Nixon's coming.
Yeah. You should have seen me the other day in the grocery store when Edwin Starr's War came on. I gave the people a show. You're not gonna play War in a grocery store, and I ain't gonna perform. So
whoa, yeah.
I want to know how many people that I don't know went on Facebook. You should have seen this guy at the grocery store.
All right, look, I know we have listeners. I know they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may be musicians. I implore you, make a creative song, some creative music, some counterculture, subversive music, and we will play it on this show. And our scores of listeners, maybe even tens of listeners, maybe even in the double digits of listeners, will hear your music.
You can't pass that up.
I want to know. You know what? Here's the third possibility. So that was two possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is that everybody's in shock. Two is that we're a nation of pussies now. And the third option is everything's theoretical at this point. The thing that came closest to being real shit going on was when people were stuck at airports that one day. Oh no, somebody's stuck in an airport. I've been stuck in airports. Nobody came protesting for me. But, you know, I think some real shit's got to go down before their creative juices really start flying. So with any luck, Trump will actually start to round up people and put them in detention camps or something.
With any luck.
If we're lucky, because then you would get some good rock and roll out of that.
Right.
I don't think he's going to start a war. I don't see that happening. I think he's the kind of guy that starts wars.
An ex-girlfriend of mine once said that the American people will never do anything as long as they are fed, fat, and entertained. So, yeah, nothing. Basically, nothing's going to happen. We just got to muddle through.
So, are you and I part of the problem? Because we continue to entertain people. Well, I've gone through all my headlines. We talked about STEM. I got no more notes.
I guess it's time.
I'm out of shit to talk about. I guess we probably ought to wrap it up.
I guess we should check out any responses to your Facebook question.
Ah, shit. I totally forgot about that. Thank you. Would you like to remind the listeners of what the question was?
Favorite movie about school go?
17 comments in 47 minutes and 39 seconds. Let's check a few of them out.
All right. What do you got?
Gross Point Blank. Was that about school?
Yeah, he went back to his class reunion.
Oh, that's one I never would have made that connection.
Yeah. Who said that?
That was Laura Kessner.
That's a good movie.
Ted Wolfslayer, Rock and Roll High School, Joey Ramone Forever. Was that a movie? I thought that was just a song. Rock and Roll High School.
No, it's an actual movie.
Casey Schomer says Dead Poets Society.
I figured that was going to pop up.
Wendy Shank says Real Genius. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Love that movie.
Scott Tolan. Would you like to take a guess at what Scott Tolan said?
Dead Poets Society.
No.
Oh.
Think about his age.
Yeah, because he's like, what, 20? I'm going to say High School Musical 1.
4. Dazed and Confused.
That's a pretty good movie, though.
I like that one.
Yeah.
What was it about? They were sitting there eating a pizza or something. They were like, you know what we need right now? Pizza. Something like that.
Yeah.
Jeff Lynch says Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me. Caitlin Benson, James's new pen pal, says Facing the Giants, which I don't know about that one.
I never heard of that one.
We have another Breakfast Club from Melissa Peterson. Matt Lovell comes in with the first Ferris Bueller.
Bueller.
Michael Stamper, my brother from another mother, says Back to School, baby.
There you go.
Colette Lindemann brings us in another Gross Point Blank. Justin, my brother-in-law. Red Dawn.
Wolverines!
How could I not think of that one? There was a school in that one.
Yep.
They got the shit shot out of it.
That's right. They killed Superfly in that movie.
Fucking Russians. Fucking Cubans.
Superfly was the Cuban. That's right. Yeah, but he still died, so.
Jill Allison, Stand and Deliver. Ben Hall, Dead Poets Society. Eric Roth, another Ferris Bueller. James. Oh, superfan James. Ugh. He wonders if Back to the Future counts. He was in school.
Yeah, he went back. He played at the prom or whatever and, you know, made out with his mom. And
right. And he went to the prom and made out with his mom. So, yeah.
Isn't that what happens to everyone in school at some point?
Yeah. Our favorite listener, or wait, one of our favorite listeners, Fred Spinner.
Let me guess, he doesn't really have one. He doesn't really have one.
Well, that's what I thought he was going to say. Oh. But let me push up my glasses. I rather like the Kurt Vonnegut scene in Back to School. But Real Genius and Animal House both tie for number one for me. I don't know, what's the Kurt Vonnegut scene in Back to School? I don't know. I don't know that one.
Rod at Dangerfield has Kurt Vonnegut come into the classroom and explain the book that they were reviewing for his classroom that he wrote.
Oh. Yeah. I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Hang on, what did Michael Stamper say? Did he say Back to School or Old School? He said Back to School.
Blue.
That was also a good movie. But yes, old school. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy.
The brick and rope scene. Oh, my God.
Yes. I thought I was going to die. I didn't think I could laugh that hard.
It was one of them. When the guy's like, ah, he just falls at the camera. It's like, I got to pause the movie for a minute.
We went, and speaking of marijuana, that was back in the day when we were still smoking it. And we went and saw that movie under the influence. And that is the danger of marijuana right there. Mm-hmm. You could have a heart attack watching a funny movie. It was so funny. The following weekend, the same group of friends all partaked again and went to see the same movie again and laughed just as hard again. Mm-hmm. It was just that funny. Back to Kurt Vonnegut in a second. But James Peniston says, sex ed. Perfect. Perfect answer, James Peniston. Other James. From now on, you shall be known as Other James. Sharon Pettick says, to sir with love. I don't know anything about that one.
I think I saw that, but that's an old one.
I forgot to mention this. I can't believe I forgot to mention this. We'll probably talk about it at length in another show. But my lovely bride is designing a room at the St. Margaret's Guild designer show house, which is what they do is they take a home, usually an old home, and a bunch of designers come in and they each get a room. They design it, they renovate it, and then on a couple of days in February, or wait, no, I think it's in May, they open it up for tours, and it's a fundraiser for this charity. You buy tickets, you go tour it, you get to see these great rooms, and you find out about the designers. Well, Constance is doing one of the rooms, and it's a different house every year. Mm-hmm. This year, it is it's the home that Kurt Vonnegut grew up in at 44th and Illinois in Indianapolis. And we got to do more on this. Maybe next week we'll have her on to tell these stories. But apparently there's a folklore starting to grow up around this. The workmen that she's talking to as she goes in there to work on her room are telling her that they're hearing things. There's one area where the living room is. The master bedroom used to be above the living room. Mm-hmm. But at some point years ago, somebody tore out the ceiling of the living room, the floor of the master bedroom, so that you could have an extra tall living room, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of open that space up, right? So the bedroom's gone. Now it's just this big open living room space. They swear that they are hearing shuffling sounds, like someone is walking above them where the bedroom used to be.
Right.
And they swear that they're hearing arguments.
You need to get your ass in there and record some of that stuff for the Halloween show.
That's what I was thinking. And then they're saying that after doing a little research, they find out that Kurt Vonnegut was asked about, how do you feel about the fact that somebody, after you moved out of this house, obviously, somebody tore out that floor and turned the living room into something different, got rid of that bedroom. And he said, well, it's probably just as well, because I have a lot of horrible memories from my alcoholic parents who used to argue and, you know, and do alcoholic parent things.
Clearly the low-functioning alcoholic parents.
Low-functioning alcoholic parents. But look what they turned out, man. They turned out Kurt Vonnegut.
No pressure, no diamond.
That having been said, we will get into that a little more in a future show. But thank you to Fred Spinner for mentioning the Kurt Vonnegut scene in Back to School. That reminded me of that.
Okay, so What is your favorite movie about school?
Funny you should ask that, because I wrote down a few.
I hope it's funny. So,
it's hard to say, really. You know, because it's funny when you say about school, it's easy to immediately go to, well, it has to be, the school has to be the central theme of the show. But it doesn't have to be. There are a lot of movies involve school.
Yeah.
Like Taps. Mm-hmm. I used to love Taps.
I know you did, dude.
Because it fulfilled a lot of my fantasies, just like Red Dawn did. You know, kids facing long odds, having to man up, like, quickly. And just when the smoke started flying and the gun started going off, I was like, this is my kind of movie right here. Girl Interrupted was pretty good because there was a lot of lesbian stuff in it.
Oh, Heathers, yeah.
I loved Heathers.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah, Heathers.
Great Pate, Mom. Got a motor. Why do I fall for these things? Because you're an idiot? Oh, yeah, that's right. Great Pate, Mom.
Just when Winona Ryder gets hit with the croquet ball, it's like, it's a Dear Diary. So what the hell am I watching?
And one of the most profound statements in a less than serious, I mean, it was kind of serious, sort of serious movie, but when it was like, I'm just worried about what everybody thinks of me. Don't worry. Everybody's too busy worried about what everybody else is thinking about them to think about you. It's like that. If I had been told that when I was in high school, that would have changed my life.
Like, I knew back in high school, man, that fucking high school was fucking high school. So I really didn't care. I mean, there was a couple people I cared. There was a couple people that I whose opinions I cared about, but the rest of them I couldn't have given a shit.
Man, I wish you had told me.
I think I did a couple of times, but you're too busy worried about what people would think. I don't know. But no, seriously.
That's probably true. I was one of those guys that was so busy worried about what everybody thought of me that I didn't think anything about anybody else. No, actually, I don't think that. I know that because I found out years later, like several years later, that there was a whole mystique that grew up around me as the last American virgin. There were all these girls, and they were all trying to figure out when and who would finally deflower me. And I was going, when one of these girls finally told me all this, I'm going, really? Really? You know what it would have taken? Not much. Yeah, but all of us.
Not like, much.
We were, oh, I'm going to go to prom with him. I'm going to ask him out. I'm like, it would not, I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, this group of girls was not necessarily the best. They weren't the cheerleaders of the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that I was all that in a bag of chips, but it still would not have taken much my senior year of high school, you know? With that having been said, do we have any other tangent that we want to think of and go off for another 10 minutes?
Well, no. I mean, you could ask me what my favorite movie about school was or is.
You're right. I fucked up. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I got all up in my head about my own shit. Sorry, I was thinking about me. I neglected to think about you. I'm sorry. So what is, I really, truly, I'm not just saying this because you said that. I truly want to know, what is your favorite movie about school?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, hands down. And the reason why that movie is so goddamn good is the first 3 or 4 minutes of the movie completely, perfectly encapsulates life in high school in the 80s. It's I mean, it was amazing how, looking, you know, hindsight now, looking back on how everything was arranged in clicks and whatnot, this movie perfectly put everybody in their place. And Phoebe Cates' tits, so there's that. I'm just throwing that out there as a bonus. It's also the only movie that Sean Penn has been in that I didn't want to, like, just hit him in his mouth because I can't stand him as an actor. But in that movie, he's perfect.
What do you think you're doing? Eating some pizza and learning about Egypt.
That's right. That's honestly, if you didn't know it, that's where Mr. Hand comes from. From South Park?
Yeah.
Because that's the name of the teacher that helps Spicoli out at the end of the movie and everything. Yeah, that's Mr. Hand. I honestly didn't like it when it first came out because I was still like, you know, what, ninth grade, I think, when that movie came out. But I watched it recently, and I'm like, oh my God, this movie is the 80s, yeah. Like, nailed. More than any John Hughes movie ever that romanticizes the 80s, this fucking movie nails the 80s.
I might have to go back and watch it, because I agree with you, and I like the movie, but you've inspired me to go check it out again.
Check it out.
Well then, friends, neighbors, listeners, please sign up for our mail list. We have three people who have signed up for our mail list. One of them is me.
One of them might be me.
No.
Oh, it's not?
Wait, maybe
haven't
we have
signed up yet?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we have three. It can't be me. I can't sign up for my own mail list. We have three. One of them is you. One of them is Superfan James. And the other is Woody, because I shamed him into doing it. I mean, I don't know who we got to kill to get people to sign up for our mail list, but God damn it, sign up for the mail list.
It's not that hard. It really is not. I mean, it's like one question and you're signed up.
Yes.
And we're not going to send you a lot of spam. It's us.
I know.
If we sent you spam, it'll be real spam. We're going to send you real spam.
It's us, man. It's us. Your friends, Paul and Steve. Not even MP Cavalier or Scott Tolan has signed up for the mail list. Do they even listen? I don't even think they listen. MP used to because he had to because it was part of his job.
No, I think he still does.
Oh, good. But. Well, all right. Sign up for the mail list.
There you go.
And go on over to doitindieradiohour.com and check out the latest episode. They had a really good, just a freebie. Worth more money than you can imagine, but it was free, of a bunch of live music from local bands here in Indianapolis at the Grove House. Go check that out. It's amazing what you can get for free if you just click on over there. And you know what? We'll be here next week, so don't forget to come back and check us out. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.